Thank you. All lines are now bridged.
Great. Thank you very much. And hello, everyone. I'm Mike Berry. I'm with ONC. And I'd like to welcome you to the Interoperability Standards Priorities Task Force. We really appreciate you joining us today. I will open up the meeting today and with roll call, and I'll start with our co-chairs, Arian Malik.
Good morning.
David McCauley.
Hello.
Ricky Bloomfield. Cynthia Fisher. Valerie Gray. Jim Jurgis. Edward Jean.
Here.
Ken Kawamoto. Victor Lee. Leslie Leonard.
Here.
Jack Poe. Raj Ratwani. No, Ram Sharam has a conflict. He'll be absent today. Sasha Tarmat. And Andy Truscott. Okay, if I missed anyone or you joined late, I will catch your name in the roster later. I'd like to turn it over to our co-chairs, Arian and David.
All right. I think we've got an action-packed agenda today, mostly focused on putting together draft high-level recommendations for the HITECH meeting next week. The HITECH meeting is primarily going to be focused on public health data systems. But for us to meet our June deliverable for recommendations, we need to put something in front of the HITECH for at least them to, you know, say right track, wrong track, and then follow up with more detailed recommendations for the HITECH meeting in June. So if we can go on to the next slide and the next one after that. So here's our overall timeline. It may surprise people, but we are actually in May. And we have until the HITECH meeting in June to get to recommendations. I think the good news is we've got a lot of really good input. We've heard from a bunch of good testimony in terms of standards readiness, and I think are in a great position to be able to offer recommendations. We just need to operate expeditiously between now and then to get those recommendations in place. So if we go on to the next slide. As a reminder, we lined up to make recommendations on health equity standards, real-world comparative effectiveness, recovery-type EHR data use, and clinical administrative data and standards harmonization and burden reduction, and then consider recommendations on these three activities. I think we managed to put together, based on the input of folks from the task force, a set of draft recommendations. So we're going to review those today. We also decided to defer public health recommendations to the public health task force, public health data systems task force, which is hard at work and actually is publishing recommendations by July, which we're going to have a good sprint there as well. So if we go on to the next slide, this is kind of how we thought about the timeline working through. Today, we're presenting high-level recommendations draft and getting input and discussion from the task force. We'll do some offline homework between now and May 10th and 11th. In order to get, you know, tomorrow, and then the 10th and 11th to get to draft recommendations to present to the HITECH. So if you haven't been able to get your input in, we'll have another turn of the crank over the weekend, Friday, over the weekend, and Monday and Tuesday for the Thursday HITECH meeting. And then based on the feedback from the HITECH on May 13th, we've got three other meetings, May 20th, 27th, and June 3rd to do homework and get to detailed recommendations and a formalized recommendations letter. And then on June 9th, the HITECH meeting, we will present our final recommendation. So, David, any comments on the timeline and any comments from the task force in terms of working through this timeline?
No, I think that's a nice summary. I will reinforce the notion that what we need to get through today is the high level stuff, because we have enough time to flesh out all the details. So I think as we discuss what we've got in the slides for high level, it's a good idea to surface some of the low level stuff, but let's not worry too much about getting all of that captured in these slides. This is basically a test of whether we are headed in the right direction for high tech.
Exactly.
If I understand you. Yeah, good.
Yep. Any comments from the task force in terms of the overall timeline, and then we'll just get to the we'll get right to the meat of this meeting. Coolio. Let's go to the next slide. Okay, and the next one after that. Okie doke. So here is the actual meat of the discussion. So we're gonna present each slide. I'll give a brief overview of the slide content. I'm not going to read and drain all the words on the slide, but I'm looking for the task force to provide feedback as to whether this appropriately addresses task force input and is an appropriate recommendation. So the first three slides really focus on foundational standards. And if you remember when we thought about prioritization, we thought about making recommendations relative to foundational standards and then making recommendations on specific high priority areas. So you might wonder where these foundational standards came from, and these are really the foundations behind the more specific both public health, EHR data use, and clinical administrative burden reduction standards that we talked about. So FHIR CDS hooks, I think, is better positioned as FHIR hooks in general. It provides a standard way to publish a triggered workflow in an EHR that is triggered by some event. So as an example, in the EPA use case, it's triggered by an order or referral. You know, public health use case, it's triggered by documentation for a travel history, for example, for Zika. And then for the recovery type trial, could be triggered by registration or initiation of an encounter to trigger, for example, a randomization event. FHIR questionnaires, heavily used by Gravity Project as a standards-based way of collecting information that is not captured in the EHR. One could also, again, imagine this in a research use case to be able to collect non-EHR data. And then FHIR consent directives, our foundational standards used in the Gravity Project through questionnaires, but also have more generic use in a recovery type trial usage to be able to capture consent directives or authorizations relative to research. And our recommendation here is that ONC should invest in tooling and developing, testing and development activities to track these standards and related implementation guidance for broader maturity, incorporating certification criteria. And I will pause to collect task force feedback on this recommendation.
This is Ricky. I think that makes sense. One thing that we might consider as well is the FHIR subscription, which is one of those foundational pieces that allows for reduction in the polling that happens today, because there is no notification when new data is present. So it requires any connection to poll for updates. And that it has one implementation guide, and there's additional work going on this year within Argonaut to further flesh that out. So I think there's a question as to whether it's mature enough to be included here, but could be considered one of the foundational pieces of FHIR.
Fantastic. Yeah, so David and I, way back when in the API task force, contemplated PubSub as a foundational piece for an interoperability mechanism, and sounds like FHIR subscriptions are the PubSub. We'll definitely take that
yes.
Yeah, we'll definitely take that feedback into advisement. And I think it makes sense to include in this list potentially at a lower level of maturity.
Arian?
Yep.
One thing that we can work out with ONC's input, we could express these as these particular standards and have the use cases that we envision underneath them, but an alternate would be to position it as standards priorities or interoperability priorities and then list the standards under them. So the priority might be capture consent directive,
yep.
Capture consent in a more fluid way for sharing of sensitive data, et cetera.
Yeah, so makes sense. So basically, my in order to in order to flip the order of the in order to and list the in order to as primary and the actual enabling standard as secondary. It makes sense.
Yep.
Other folks on the task force?
This is Les. A couple of comments. One, I think some of these are actually relatively mature compared to other things we've already pushed out into USCDI or other things like that. So, second, I'm not sure I'd like the last sentence to be a little more forceful. Should probably prioritize these standards for incorporation and certification criteria.
Got it.
Committed testing and, evaluation and testing of the standards for incorporation and criteria. And then under the consent directive, I would urge you to change. So I think clinical research is good, but I think you should add advanced directives as an area for consent because
Got
of
it.
The interest of patients that in limiting care and the difficulty in getting that inserted. I think that would make it more, when you say consents and authorizations, usually that's administrative. Advanced directives being more clinical.
Got it.
Good suggestion.
Yeah, and just to add to that, that was along the lines of my suggestion. This is that maybe, the last bullet, ONC should advance, maybe just advancing
mm-hmm.
development, but also the adoption, the actual engagement, just so
yep.
that there's traction and movement forward. So echo the comments. Thank you.
Great feedback. Thank you. Other comments? So let me just capture what I heard. So number one, we want to make sure that we note FHIR subscriptions as a foundational standard. Number two, rather than sort of the wishy-washy language, track these standards for broader maturity and incorporate into certification criteria, we really want to talk about testing toward production use and incorporation to certification criteria as the language in the recommendation. And then lastly, we want to make sure that we call out advanced directive in the consent directive use case section. All right.
That's what I got.
Other comments? Otherwise, we'll go on to the next slide. This has been fantastic. All right. So common data model, we heard...
One more thing.
Yep,
I
please.
Think the usual context for CDS hooks is decision support. So I would put that at the front of what you said, that paragraph there on CDS hooks.
Yeah, the thought process that I have, this is the reason for my comment that CDS hooks is probably better thought of as hooks, is that what CDS hooks actually does is... trigger a workflow based on some underlying event. And the predominant reason or the initial reason for doing that was plugging in CDS. But you can also plug non-decision support workflows in, and it's foundational for the capability for EPA. But you're right, we definitely should list decision support as the primary use case for CDS hooks because the CDS stands for clinical decision support.
People are just going to ask what happened to the decision
support. What happened to decision support in the decision support standard, yes. Okay. So we heard a bunch in the research section on common data models, and it is implied, it actually came out in Alex's recommendations relative to, or the ICAD task force recommendations relative to standards for administrative and clinical, and it's really a substrate of the overall recommendation, which is that we should harmonize administrative and clinical use cases. So we proposed a set of recommendations on this slide that ONC should identify common staging data models and should map USCDI to the staging data models, and that ONC, first bullet, I got recommendation in each of these bullets, I'm confusing myself. ONC should continue should continue to map USCDI to HL7 FHIR and other foundational standards such as V2 and CDA, should build a clear and rapid roadmap to expand USCDI, which should incorporate research and administrative needs, and should identify common staging data models and should map USCDI to those staging data models as well as to HL7 FHIR and other concrete interoperable representations. So there's a lot of words here, but the intent is that we should take USCDI, which right now is a clinical data set that is associated with API use and transparency and access for patients, and continue to advance it to make sure that it's maximally useful for research as well as for driving administrative needs around the primary premise that the data captured in EHRs, even if it's not sufficient for research or for administrative purposes, should be primary for the core data that's used in both those purposes. And the language here may be a little garbled, but hopefully it communicates the intent. I definitely look, as I read it out, I realized that the language was not as clear on paper as it seemed to be in my head, but definitely look for feedback here on these recommendations, whether they make sense and whether they communicate the intent of the work group. And please raise your hand if you're able to do that, so we can make sure to call on you in order. And if you can't, then feel free to call out as soon as we drain the people in the queue. And Les is first.
Quick question: did you mean OMOP rather than OMAP?
I meant OMOP. OMOP. Yes. Thank you.
And oftentimes that's a slash OHDSI.
Yep.
And that, and I don't know why you're calling it a staging data model as opposed to a research data model or analytical,
yep,
longitudinal. It's a longitudinal data analysis model.
I think I may have been the one who put that phrase in here, and I took it from, maybe it was Chris Shute or his co-presenter, his name I'm blanking on right now, with the notion that if you look at it from an ETL point of view, getting the data into the common data model is often step one before it's processed in a second stage to more use case specific data models, perhaps a data warehouse model or some other kind of optimization for whatever the researcher's needs are. So the thought was the common data model doesn't necessarily have to be the core of the deliverable, but it could be a staging area to downstream uses. That was the language in one of our presenter's slides. So that's where that came from, but maybe it should be, maybe we should have something about ETL in there or something a little bit more clear as to what that
is. I think ETL is a little specific, so maybe we just talk about common data models. Like high priority common data models?
I would say research common data models.
Yeah.
You know, you don't want to exclude PCORnet at this point yet. Maybe you do. There's a whole group of people who do I2B2 related stuff who are going to get mad at you eventually. And then.
That's why it says data models, plural.
Yeah.
I did make that explicit change.
Data model.
We'll get into the specifics of the actual data models in the research section, because we do call out, I think we heard even from PCORnet that most settings are mapping to OMOP and then secondarily mapping to the PCORnet data model that was derived from the FDA Sentinel data model. So we actually make some specific recommendations there, which may be controversial, and we can get into them when we get there. But I definitely take the point that we talk about research data models here, and correct my typo here.
I could be very happy with the language broadly disseminated research data models.
Yep.
And I think putting a couple of the other ones in the EG, OMOP, I2B2, PCORnet is not a bad idea at this stage of our recommendation. I don't know that we are in a position to pick the best one, but this notion that there should be expansion of USCDI and accompanied by mappings to at least the core models.
Again, I think we'll get into when we get to the research section, but I think we did hear that it's a pain in the butt for organizations to do multiple mapping, and then in many cases they're just dealing with different representations of the same underlying data rather than, some particular great reason to go for this model to that model. On the other hand, I think we also heard that the terminology questions that are the topic of the next slide are much higher in the priority list, and are more salient. So first of all, just on the previous slide, any other comments from the work group and the task force? Cool. Let's go on to the next terminology section. Great. So what we heard we heard both from our research hearing and from our administrative burden reduction hearing. That we're not doing a good job of source normalizing data, and that requires secondary normalization. And B, in particular to procedural codes, we're letting administrative standards drive data collection instead of clinical needs and research needs, and that the particular administrative standards that we're using are heavily U.S.-centric and not open and freely available. So number one recommendation is that ONC should use its direct levers to continue to standardize terminology while working with other related agencies of HHS, primarily FDA for analyte machines and CMS for CLIA, to correctly originate codes at the source for laboratory and other similar data to LOINC. That was the biggest problem that I think we heard. And then ONC should, directly and through coordination with CMS, harmonize procedural coding standards to open and freely available standards that are either international or clearly cross-map the international standards and are optimized for clinical care, research, and administrative data use. So we thought about creating a recommendation about RX norm, and maybe we should. The particular issue here is NDC to RX norm. Making sure that we've got clear alignment around RX norm as well as international work to promulgate RX norm as an international standard as opposed to a U.S. standard. The issue with international standards for medications is that approved formulations in the pharmacopoeia are different in each nation or each administrative region under separate regulatory control, and so it's complex to map medications internationally, but it's a useful thing to do, and I think RX norm has probably the best ontology in terms of being able to map active ingredients to generic names to brand names. FDA already does work at creating internationally recognized generic names for medications. and it would be useful to harmonize there. So I'm talking myself into the need for a third bullet here, but Victor has his name up, or his hand up, so we'll go to comment from the task force.
Yeah, thank you. And I wasn't the one who submitted this comment, although as I read it, it specifically mentions procedural coding standards, and I wonder if that is in specific reference to CPT, which I know is complex because it's in legislation, and so therefore we had to have regs for it. But Marianne, while I wholeheartedly agree with the RX norm comment, and agree with some of the limitations you mentioned, I don't see that as being so much of an issue as kind of the proprietary ones that require licensure.
Yep. So. Yep. That's why RX norm actually isn't a recommendation. Continued normalization on RX norm isn't a recommendation, but I do think it would be useful for ONC to work with FDA to harmonize NDC to RX norm, or continue to reconcile NDC and RX norm so that we have a single standardized terminology set. But yes, the non-open, non-freely available U.S.-only standard for procedural codes is CPT. So I think you're reading that comment correctly.
Right. And if I recall correctly from USCDI, I believe that SNOMED is also a kind of a first-line recommended code system for representing procedures, and then ICD-10 PCS, I believe, is listed as an alternate.
I think that's right. I think the logical procedural terminology for administrative use would be ICD-10 or ICD-11, and then the logical clinical procedural terminology would be SNOMED CT. And this is actually consistent with, for example, back in the day standards committee recommendations. I believe John Halamka and Stan Huff, if I remember correctly, published an article in JAMIA making recommendations for harmonizing to clinical terminology settings for procedural terminology. So I don't think this will be a surprising recommendation. As I said, it's consistent with both the feedback that we heard from the research data use team as well as the feedback we heard on the ICAT task force.
Great, thank you.
And we can put some of those bullets recommendations in a more granular version of this. Again,
when we get to detailed recommendations rather than the high level recommendations, it's appropriate to make those cross references. I try not to wave red flags all that often, but I think people kind of know what bullet two is talking about.
When did that happen?
I could wave the red flag harder than I sometimes do. Okay, any other comments on this slide? All right, let's go on to the next one. So those are foundational standards. Oh, wait. Ha! Ha, ha, ha. I do have it. We just split it across two slides. Okay, good.
That's right.
In the transition to ICD-11, ONC should work with CMS and LM to ensure SNOMED CT and ICD-11 harmonization, to assure a single source of captured clinical data for multiple workflows. So this is pointing out that with all the work that we did for ICD-10, we're going to do it again for ICD-11. Here's the comment on RX norm. And the note on clinical, on RX norm and administrative workflows is that NDC is actually the coding system that's used for NCPDP transactions as opposed to RX norm. So we've got these, and we've got sort of FDA and NLM doing what one might call dual warring standards out of HHS. Okie doke. Any other comments on this slide? Cool. Let's go on to the next one. Health equity. So David, I wasn't at the, unfortunately, wasn't at the Gravity presentation, but this is my synthesis out of what I, David and my synthesis out of what we heard. I think we want to double down on the USCDI task force recommendations relative to Gravity. And then we want to make sure that for race, ethnicity, and address information, number one, that we expand it for gender identity and sexual preference in accordance with the USCDI task force recommendations, and that we should ensure associated interoperability standards and EHR certification requirements prioritize the capture and exchange of this data for multiple purposes. And the gloss here is that if you actually look at the race ethnicity coding standard, it uses the OMB standard with a CDC terminology set that allows for capture at CDC at fairly granular levels of race ethnicity information, and at the OMB level at the standard sort of categorizations that we're all used to for administrative purposes. But when we looked, for example, in some of the work that we did early on in the pandemic at data flows for reportable labs all the way to public health, we discovered that in many cases, information was getting lost in transit because it wasn't flowing all the way from the EHR to the lab to the public health authority. So I'm going to pause here. ONC on the work to harmonize address models, we heard from the At Health, I think it was called, or the At Something task force, looking at the Postal Service standards relative to standardization of address information, and that this is foundational information for geolocation, and geolocation information is foundational for health equity, and looking at, for example, food deserts or vaccination pharmacy deserts, as I just heard today, or pollution data or some of the other cross correlates that we need to do to longitudinally map, sort of geolocate and map health outcomes to the communities, the specific communities of interest. David, I saw your hand virtually up.
Yeah, and I even clicked the button. It can go in our detail slide, but my memory from the Gravity presentation is I thought of it as sort of three levels of work that roughly correspond to the staging that I think makes sense for ONC's, you know, pushes. Level one is the expansion of the nomenclatures to capture the social determinants. Level two was the design and promulgation of specific FHIR questionnaires designed to capture those expanded vocabularies in some kind of workflow. And then number three, and the furthest out there, was the thought that there would be an API exchange possible between systems that could share SDOH and related data in an unattended fashion. Clearly, that API requirement is much more fragile than the first two. So we may want to break those out in our details. And as sort of a staging, which I think it's how Gravity is already doing it, but mm-hmm. I think it makes a lot of sense to do it that way.
Okay. Also happy, obviously, to change the words on the slide for the recommendations. Any other comments from the task force? Okie doke, let's go on to the next slide. This one will be fun. And then Les, this is maybe where I'm waving another red flag. And clearly I had OMOP wrongly done in my brain. So all the issues here. is mine. So the OMOP.
And I reviewed and missed them all too. So bad proofreading.
I think you're going to run into a wall by saying OMOP's the preferred model.
Yeah.
Another way to formulate this would be the recommendation that we converge on a preferred data model. In my career in healthcare, we've often rolled into political sensitivities political sensitivity is about, everybody's standard and everybody believes that we should converge on a single standard, but everyone wants to converge on their standard. And what that leaves us with is the risk of, wanting to avoid making people uncomfortable or unhappy. We soft pedal the need to get to a single standard. I am more than happy here to soft pedal, OMOP is the preferred data model. But I do think it would be appropriate for us to say, I think we heard from the research group that everybody's mapping their data multiple times, and that it would be nice to have, and that there wasn't a lot of value in that multiple mapping. And in some cases that those mappings were lossy because they had to down map and up map. In order to get to, for example, support the PCORnet data model. So rather than talk about standardize on OMOP, perhaps we should talk about standardize on a research data model as the target for the country, and then align. I think we can look at FDA Sentinel. I think we can look at CDC and some of the work that's going on in VA and DOD. As federal actors who have an interest in a single aligned research data model. Les, does that make sense to you?
I think that what you should probably say is that it should work to conduct comparative analyses of existing models with the view of converging on a single model.
Yep, agreed.
So there hasn't been a comparison of the analytics performed by PCORnet and OMOP, to my knowledge, the same.
Yep.
Same thing. So somebody should probably say, well, this one is more prone to coding. This one is more error. This one is, got these granularity issues. So I think what you heard from Chris Shute was, an interest in OMOP being the model, as you might have heard from other people who were involved heavily in OMOP. But,
yep. So I think I'm more reacting to
some issues with OMOP as a standardized model, to be honest.
That's right. If I'm being honest, I am in no position to compare the OMOP data model to the PCORnet data model to the ITB2 implied model, et cetera, et cetera. What I was referring to primarily was some of the feedback that we heard that many of the large health systems are doing multiple mappings to multiple models, and that mapping is lossy. So that's really the problem that we want to solve, is the need for multiple mapping that creates excess work and lossy conversions. And that in order to solve that, we really should converge on a single model. And Les, to your point, the logical way to do that would be to do the comparative analysis that you suggest, align at the federal level on research data use models for the organizations like FDA, VA, and
CDC. If you allowed me to testify, I would have told you to map to FHIR as the representation language, and then
no doubt
up and to PCORnet, and that
yep.
Because FHIR is the closest thing we have to a detailed clinical data model.
That,
like Van Hoff.
So FHIR is FHIR, I guess, would be the representational model for the underlying detailed model. And that I think we already made recommendations that we should align FHIR, the representational model for FHIR, to the research data models. I think we're saying the same thing, but we can go back and forth on the wording of this slide. in edits between now and Tuesday, if that works.
That sounds fine. I just think, you know, again, we want to minimize the controversy. So the first one you'll have problems with.
Okay. Yeah. So I think we want to, to your point, I think we want to say that that we should, ONC should conduct work to comparatively assess existing data models in order to converge on a single data model. We should be harmonized to the US CDI and cross mapped to FHIR. David.
Well, this is back why I, you know, put the language of a staging model in. I think people get a little bit more proprietary if they feel like they're being told they have to use a particular data model for their particular research. The question is, can you get the data out of the EHRs and other sources, administrative sources, into your preferred data model with the minimum of make work, of extra work? And the use of FHIR is a huge step in that direction. But it appeared, at least from what we heard from the presenters, that they all put FHIR into something before they put it into their final clinical model. So this notion of a staging pipeline is what I think makes sense. You can't make somebody use OMOP if they don't want to.
The point is, OMOP and PCORNET are relational models optimized for longitudinal data analysis.
Yep.
Right.
And that,
right.
That's
and
not
the
not
data coming out of
the, because you don't have all the relations that could be represented in there, and you don't have, like, you know, you don't have an object-oriented view of a blood pressure, for example, systolic, diastolic. They're single events. You'd have to introduce a table that modeled that. Whereas in FHIR, there's an explicit representation. Those are all part of a single measurement.
Okay. So I think we've got what we want relatively clear. I think we're going to work through a couple of iterations on this particular slide, and Les, I'm happy to see you volunteering to help David and I converge on the language between now and Tuesday to get
this
clear.
Right? We don't want to be sent back home.
That's exactly right. We don't want to wave the red flag too hard, and we want to make sure that the language is clear for the full task force. Completely agreed. Other folks on the task force who have commentary here? And then I see that Adele has some public commentary, which we'll make sure gets incorporated as part of our public feedback. All right, that was exciting. Let me just do a quick time check. So I think we're doing fine. I think we're actually doing quite well at going through these recommendations. Let us go to the next slide. All right. So harmonization of clinical administrative data for burden reduction. So I'm saying that we endorse the ICAD task force recommendations. David?
Before we dive into burden reduction ICAD stuff, can we go back one to the EHR? And I have a question for Les. In the material that you submitted, and thank you for that, you had a particular bullet point that I was interested in that we didn't pull forward into this slide about enhancing the ability of EHRs to perform core functions of a randomized trial, in particular randomized drug dosage or drug choice, et cetera. I took it as to be something like what the UK recovery trial was able to do. It's sort of a lightweight randomization. Did I get that right? And do you think we should add that as a high level point?
We have, let's look at bullet two, which is intended to address Les's comment and make sure that it's got the right content there.
Yeah, I would say no, that they would, So if you use Epic or Cerner for a, I have to say Cerner because of David, that the clinical research packages for your EHRs, and that they have certain functions, and they all exist outside of the scope of meaningful use regulation currently,
right.
And that there right. are no standards for how trials are represented within an electronic record, and that
right.
And then there's not a standard for representation of experimental medications that allows one to prescribe X and, you know, to prescribe a, you know, this is a placebo-controlled drug as part of a study X. We have to invent the name of that every time we deploy one of those inside of our EHR. And that the lack of standardized clinical trial functionality inside EHRs, it does really slow things down quite a bit. And, you know,
well, and I agree. So I'd like to call that out for more attention. I don't think it's something that gets solved overnight, obviously, but I missed it in your bullet point there, Arianne. I see the word randomization now, but I think that's burying the lead.
Randomization is a specific, and just so you know, the thought process, I completely agree with everything Les just said. The thought process that was going through my head is relative to recovery, where we're trying to source EHR data use for emergent comparative effectiveness research. The biggest missing feature is the ability to randomize. Everything Les says is exactly right. You know, how do you document research use medication in the EHR? You know, I also took notes that among the candidate data models that we should be looking to harmonize on, CDISC really should be in the mix as well.
To some extent, yeah.
Yep.
Let's just take it that we need to refine that point and maybe make it a little bit stronger around.
Yep.
The ability to support clinical trials in a more standard way across EHRs. What I was struck by the recovery trial is that it was pretty simple what they did, but they got very powerful and quick results. It was not a formal, deep, complex, FDA-worthy clinical trial, but it answered really important questions.
That's right. So there's the observational retrospective, or the observational trial, or real-world evidence trial, where you're looking at sort of random exposures to a compound and looking at outcomes associated with that, and you've got all the usual issues that you've got with retrospective. You've got on the other end of this, the investigational, the phase two, phase three, highly controlled trial with the clinical flowsheet.
This is a pragmatic trial.
Well-defined randomization. We need to have something in the middle.
The term that I think is the technical term for what you're trying to say with the recovery trial was a pragmatic trial.
Pragmatic trial,
people
yep.
Randomized to an approved agent at two different doses. There's another large one called Adaptable that was for aspirin dose.
The other term for this is a comparative effectiveness research, where you're randomizing treatment to a real world treatment as opposed to a well defined protocol. But you're at least doing prospective randomization to the natural history. And real world model for that treatment.
Is it the sense that both the pragmatic trial and the comparative effectiveness research is something that we would push for consideration eventually to be a certified part of EHR technology to just go all the way to?
Yes.
Is the sense of the group comfortable with that? That's a big deal.
And this is not a national competition, but I think it is fair to say that the UK did the lion's share of research that was used by the global community, and that the U.S. has, I think, the largest deployment of electronic health records in the nation, and our ability to provide a true learning health system is compromised by our inability to be able to do something that is industry-sponsored clinical trials.
And again, the big difference between the UK and here was the ability to do randomization at a countrywide level for a very simple trial.
That's why I called out randomization as the critical element. But I think it's worthwhile to note the modeling issues in the research modeling section, and then to call out the non-approved agents, standards for non-approved agents incorporated into the EHR. Or for research agents.
Talking about how to develop standards for representation of pragmatic research within a trial.
Yep.
Pragmatic trials within an EHR would be great.
And I definitely took the pragmatic trials label, and we'll make sure to incorporate that in the slide.
That's more what we would call it here, you know, because you're really channeling FDA head in the last part of the Obama administration.
Janet Woodcock, or was it FDA administrator?
Doggone it. Anyway, pragmatic trust. Yeah, that's fine.
Perfect. Okay, good.
I like adding that and bringing it to a higher level, Arian, so because I think that's something that should be discussion about. It's an important
That's exactly
concept.
Right. Yeah, the why here is really critical, and I think it's sort of implied but missing as a particularly called out section. Okay.
Yeah, I mean we've been motherhood and apple pie so far, but this one pushes the boundaries a little.
That's
bit.
Right. That's right. Okay, cool. Let's go on to the next slide. So now we talk about harmonization of clinical administrative data. We've done a lot of the heavy lifting already in previous slides, particularly relative to terminology and modeling. So here we call out we need to track administrative standards and create items for relevant DaVinci, FastFire, X12, NCPDP, and other related administrative standards and implementation guides. That OSC should harmonize the implied administrative data model expressed in X12 and NCPDP to USCDI in order to ensure that EHR clinical data capture is maximally available, yada, yada. And then cross-reference our recommendations and terminology. Comments here.
Let me explain that first bullet point because that one came from me. I think that there's a number of groups like DaVinci and FastFire solving problems, and they've got acronyms to represent their proposed solution to that problem. What I'm saying here is that we should make sure that the broader context of what interoperability priority is being addressed by these acronyms is captured in the ISA,
yep,
so that you can then track the progress of those efforts against the broad principle of what problem are they trying to solve, because there may be other competitive solutions out there. So we want to organize it around, you know, what problem are we trying to solve? And there's a bunch of them acronyms that I'd never heard of before, PDEX and some others, that we should invert into what problem is this thing trying to address and make sure that gets a heading in the ISA.
Yep. And again, relative to our foundational standard, PDEX as an example is really a decision support function. But it's decision support for administrative items for whether this procedure is going to get paid for, as opposed to clinical decision support. To your point, we really should be up-leveling it and addressing the need first, and then the standards that fall under that.
Right. Just in convert it to be, you know, start with the problem and then consider what choices you have as solutions.
Yep. So we should probably, that's such a good point that it really should be in the bullet point. When you have to explain the bullet point, it's probably a good sign that your bullet point is insufficient.
Alex made a comment, Arian, you can see it there, Alex did, of referring to HL7 and HL7 accelerators. So again, I think those are things that can be nested under what problem are you trying to solve. So, you know, national directory of patient assignment, you know, that's a problem. What standards being proposed to do that? National directory of providers and their associated organizations is a problem. What standard is being proposed to address it, so forth. And X12 is capitalized. Times 12. No, we meant times 12.
X12 is capitalized. I should know that. Thanks. All right. Good. Other commentary here. Awesome. Just as an aside, it is hilarious to me sometimes that with the length of my career in interoperability, there are standards and standards efforts that precede my time in healthcare and kind of back when I was in clinical research were just being formed. So that just shows you sometimes how long the trail has been to drive standardization in healthcare. All right, let's go on to the next slide.
Can you say claims attachment?
Claims attachments. Yes, maybe we should have a standard for claims attachments. That might be a useful thing.
Or maybe we can just bypass it completely.
Yeah, well, exactly. We'll wait so long for a claims attachment standard that we won't need one because we'll have we'll have national interoperability. Situational awareness. So I think the public health data task force is going to take on situational awareness as well, but we've got a ridiculously ambitious agenda there and not much time. So given that we heard from the SANER work, I certainly found that the SANER work was an upgrade over the legacy standards that had previously been in place, number one, and number two, that would be super useful to have situational awareness on scarce resource availability, both in the context of a public health emergency or a natural disaster, or as we've seen in other areas, just in the case of health system overwhelm, terrorist attack, et cetera. So number one, we should make sure that SANER is listed in the ISA and should be worked through pilots and early implementation towards broader adoption. But I think most importantly, my number one finding or observation out of that hearing was that we, as often happens in healthcare, we don't so much have a standards problem as we do an ecosystem funding and policy harmonization problem, and that it would be useful for ONC to work with its counterparts at HHS, primarily ASPR, and other parts of the human services portions of HHS, to create policy funding mechanisms and aligned adoption. I'm going to pause there and see if there's comments from the task force.
I will make the same comment, I think, that maybe go into our bullets with respect to SANER, is that you could look at it as stages of difficulty and initially getting some consensus around the actual fire resources that could capture that information, and then moving on from there to API implementations for server-to-server communications. So it's a detail, but you make the mistake of trying to boil the ocean sometimes, and you might miss a valuable head start just by getting the fire resources clarified, and that might be sufficient to trigger a lot of downstream stuff, even if you don't implement the APIs on day one.
The tough API. I think it's a pretty tough API to implement because you're asking for bed availability. I mean, again, as you say, we could get the fire objects represented, then people could start to work to predict that.
And David, to your previous point, our first bullet here, really should lift situational awareness in the ISA with SANER and the legacy standards as standards under situational awareness is probably the real comment. And then, to your point, it'd be useful to have the underlying fire representation standardized and made available, and that can often be a important precursor to the stakeholder alignment and policy and funding mechanisms. And Les, to your point, this is not so much an EHR certification program. It's going to be an HRIS standardization program and a scheduling system, a scheduling system standardization and yada, yada, yada. There's just so many other systems that are ERP alignment standardization process. So many other systems than we traditionally think about in terms of interoperable standards.
But they will be difficult to implement. I agree.
Yeah.
I thought SANER was actually kind of such a small step. There seems to be there are probably better ways to do this than what they were talking about. But the foundation of this back when I was doing BioSense was, does a hospital have, are the lights on? Is it open? Has it been destroyed by an earthquake or a tidal wave?
Right.
Or a bomb. And is the emergency department open? Is the CT scanners open? Does the, is the ORs open, functional? There's a very fundamental level of things that could be assessed actually from an EHR just by the evidence of traffic within the EHR.
Sure. Okay. So I think we've got the marching orders here relative to the detailed bullet points. I think that's it relative to our high-level recommendations. I want to acknowledge that we've got more detailed recommendations. Jim sent us some very detailed recommendations. Les, you sent additional recommendations that have not yet been captured in these high-level recommendations. But I wanted to make sure relative to the high tack that we had the highest order bits flipped first before we went to the lower order bits. So I think that's the last slide here. Can we go on to the next one? I think that's, homework and next steps. So first of all, I want to pull the task force to make sure that we haven't missed anything relative to high-level recommendations. And think about high-level recommendations as, do we have the right categories and do we have the right high-level points made? And do we have the natural places for, some more detailed commentary and recommendations to fall under these high-level points? So I'm going to pause there and just poll for the task force to make sure that we've got the right high-level points captured or aren't missing something.
The only, of the two categories that we had on our high-level proposal for soliciting of input, we had the care plan chronic disease management sort of carry forward from previous task force.
Yep.
And then the data sharing federal commercial entities, which we kind of on the side decided a lot of the problems which had once been barriers have actually been worked around, and that maybe that's less of a concern than we thought at the beginning.
Yeah, I don't want to presuppose that. We just didn't have, in both of those activities, we just ran out of steam relative to collecting testimony and deliberation and getting to recommendation. So in some sense, that's going to be a pass forward to the next incarnation of this task force. And it's probably worthwhile mentioning that there's just some activity that we didn't get to.
Yeah, so I think that's kind of where I was headed. Let's at least acknowledge that we didn't have time and bandwidth to address, so they don't get completely lost.
Ignored, that's right. Or that there isn't a predictable comment of why didn't you address this? You probably should have done it. By the way, I see that Mike has a comment on in my timeline. I completely forgot the Friday meeting that we have after the HITAC. So we actually have four meetings between the HITAC and the next HITAC in order to maybe it's five meetings. We have plenty of meetings between now and the June HITAC meeting to get to a detailed recommendations draft or detailed recommendations final letter for the full HITAC consideration. I think we're in relatively good shape with getting to recommendations. So with that, let's discuss homework. I think everybody has this draft of recommendations. Where I think we've got some work to do is on the wording of the research section. And then we captured some updates relative to FHIR subscriptions, the language on adoption of the foundational FHIR standards, and then some minor tweaks, but I think we've got some more wholesale, not foundational, but a little more rewording to do on the research use. So in terms of homework, I will take the action of doing a quick turn on the easy content and publishing out the presentation material to the full task force. Les, I was joking that you pre-volunteered to help us work on the research section, but I'm hoping that wasn't a joke and that you'd be happy to work with David and myself to do some rapid turns on the research language. So that we can get to at least some consensus there for consideration from the full task force. The request from the task force members is to check your email and provide commentary Friday over the weekend, Monday and Tuesday, so that we can finalize the deck by Tuesday for the Thursday HITAC meeting, which I think should be sufficient time to flip out and get to the full HITAC for consideration. I think we try to get the meeting materials 2 days in advance so that the HITAC members, so that we can review it prior to the meeting. So if that homework makes sense to folks, pause there.
And I think the next stage after this quick turn for the HITAC meeting would be we'd probably go to a Google document bullet point spreadsheet model for the detail.
I'd rather go straight to the recommendations letter, but we can work that out on next meeting. It's sometimes nice just to draft out the recommendations letter and then have people edit and work on the actual recommendations letter. Because my experience is there are a lot of things that seem like they make sense when you list them on an offline document. When you actually say ONC should, we recommend that ONC blah, that blah sometimes takes some work and is the art of the recommendations.
Well, that's fine. You just have an online recommendation letter.
Yep, that's right.
For editing.
That's right.
Yeah, that makes sense. Particularly if you write it.
Thank you. I've got certain skills, one of which is writing copious amounts of recommendation text that everybody finds all of the flaws and typos in.
We're happy to play the copy editor role.
Exactly, the copy editor and what the hell were you thinking role. What do these words actually mean? Good. Well, I think if it's okay with ONC, I think I'm hearing from the sense of the task force that we've completed the work that we have here, and I wonder whether it would be appropriate to go early to public commentary.
Oh, sure, we can do that, Arian. Operator, could we open up the line for public comments?
If you would like to make a public comment, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. A confirmation tone will indicate your line is in the question queue. You may press star 2 if you would like to remove your comment from the queue. For participants using speaker equipment, it may be necessary to pick up your handset before pressing the star keys.
And while we're waiting for comments, just want to note, as Arian has mentioned a few times, that our HITAC meeting is next Thursday. It's a full-day meeting. Part of that, or most of that, is going to be a public health data systems hearing. So lots of presenters, lots of testimony given. So I encourage you to look on the HITAC calendar and join that call. And as Arian mentioned, our next week's call that's usually on Thursday is pushed to Friday. So just check out your calendar there and join us then. Do we have any comments?
We currently have no comments.
Okay, thank you, Arian.
Mike, we did get one chat section comment that I think I could just read it. Is that okay protocol wise? Because I think it's a useful comment.
Yeah, please.
So it was from Adele Stewart, and it says, "But would it be appropriate to recommend standardized capture of information that originates with the patient as part of the health equity conversation? For example, terminology associated with patient-reported outcomes measures as part of patient-centered care." And she makes note that this is granular, and I agree, it might be a granular recommendation, but I thought it was worth surfacing for the record.
Indeed, and thank you for the comments. All right, I think with that, we can give everybody back 15 minutes back in their day. And hearing no objection, thanks everybody, and look for your email for our homework.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.